Many of us have a friend or two who've made it big, an actor in the movies, a politician, maybe a musician. One of our producers, Allison McAdam, recently found a long-lost friend in an unexpected place. Here's her story.
My mom sent me a newspaper clipping recently. It was the arts page of my hometown paper, the Lexington, Kentucky Herald Leader. She'd written on a neon pink post-it note, "Have you ever heard of this group? So this is what happened to little Scott Hoffman. Love you, XXX, Mom." Scott Hoffman was my best friend in kindergarten. I hadn't seen him since. The clipping shows Scott, bearded, broad-shouldered, posing with four other people. The group is described as a flamboyant dance-pop quintet, the Scissor Sisters. So this is what happened to little Scott Hoffman. The Scissor Sisters have topped the charts in Britain, and now they're selling out shows in the U.S. In the picture, they're dressed in fur and leather with dyed hair and cool stares. They pose like supermodels. Scott writes the music and plays keyboards, guitar, and bass. And he now goes by the nickname Baby Daddy. That's my best friend from kindergarten, now called Baby Daddy.
Laura, can't you give me some time? I got to give myself one more chance to be the man that I know I am. To be the man that I know I am.
I decide I have to call Scott. I know it's a cliche, get back in touch with the old friend when he gets famous, but it really isn't Scott's fame that fascinates me. I want to know what happened to that little boy in Kentucky, how he became Baby Daddy. I had to go through his publicist, but she told me Scott remembered me and would be happy to talk. I finally reach him on his cell phone in London. I'm nervous.
Hello?
Hi, is that Scott?
Yeah.
It's Allison.
Allison, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm relieved. Clearly I can call him Scott. I was afraid I'd have to call him Baby Daddy.
Explain this better. We basically first started making music to go out and perform it. It wasn't just two guys in jeans and a t-shirt singing a song. It was, you know, it was an act.
As we talk, I'm seeing in my head our kindergarten class photo. Scott's a black-haired, freckled boy sitting next to me at the end of the front row. He wears blue sneakers and has long, dark eyelashes. I realize now that after we lost touch, Scott and I lived somewhat parallel lives growing up in Lexington, Kentucky. I didn't fit in, and neither did Scott.
I got the social lessons, sure. You know, it wasn't extremely positive on that level either. I mean, I had a lot of friends, but we didn't spend too much time sitting around talking about politics or art.
Scott was gay and Jewish. I was a tomboy and a nerd. Lexington, a city of about 200,000 people then, wasn't the most diverse or accepting place. Football, basketball, and cheerleading were what mattered. Gay was not okay. Scott says he didn't know anyone growing up who was out of the closet. As for being Jewish, in Lexington there were only enough Jews for two synagogues. After graduating high school, Scott moved to New York City, graduated from Columbia University, and he founded the band with a guy who can sing like the guys in the Bee Gees.
Walking down the street and a man tries to get your business.
It may seem like the most banal song on that album. Someone called that song a theme song for senior citizens on cruise ships. But I look at this song, and what it is, it's a song about a hooker, a man in a dress selling his body on the street. And it's a song about keeping your chin up. That, to me, is the essence of what it is we do. It's a song sung to the outsider. You know, it's something that I looked for as a kid in music, was this, for someone to say, listen, here's someone else that has it kind of bad, but who cares?
Now, Scott hasn't entirely transcended life's unfairness. Being in a somewhat exhibitionist band, including a couple of other gay members, they get described as the new village people, or stuck with the label gay band.
You know, you can get the greatest review in the world, and they could say, oh, we love them, they're so flamboyant and gay. And then you have people that discredit it and never talk about the music.
Still, the band has its share of big-name backers. It's opened shows for Elton John and Duran Duran, performers we lip-synced to as kids in the 80s. It's like Scott's reliving our childhood, musically, all over again. And the Scissor Sisters have finally scored a gig at a small club called The Dame in Lexington, Kentucky.
Allison McAdam is a producer for our program. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.